This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohio is one of many states where legislatures are debating bans on transgender girls and women from competing in girls and women's sports. The sponsor of one piece of legislation in Ohio is Republican State Representative Jenna Powell. I spoke with her earlier about the bill. Here's our pre-recorded conversation. Joining us now is State Representative Jenna Powell, a Republican from Arcanum. She represents the 80th District in the Ohio House of Representatives. Representative Powell, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, we're here to talk about the Save Women's Sports Act, the piece of legislation that you're sponsoring. From what are you saving women's sports?
You know, the Save Women's Sports Act is a fairness issue for women here in the state of Ohio. What it does is it ensures that every little girl has the opportunity to end up on the gold podium when right now we're seeing nationwide biological males ending up on the podium over females. So the Save Women's Sports Act is a fairness issue for women and preserves women's sports in our state.
So we're talking about trans girls, people who were assigned male at birth but are transitioning to female. And your issue is with trans girls competing in girls' sports.
You know, our issue is that we need to do everything we can to preserve the integrity of women's sports. And when we have biological males competing against females in female-only sports, it makes it very difficult for women to compete on the same level of playing field. So that's what we're discussing here today, and ensuring that every little girl in our state has the opportunity to compete on a level playing field.
What type of instances are you hearing about in Ohio where this has played out, where people that you've identified as biological males are competing against girls in youth sports?
Yeah, so, you know, across the nation, there are instances, you know, all across the nation, such as Connecticut, where biological males are beating females in female-only sports. You know, in the state of Ohio, if you look at the Ohio High School Athletic Association, we do see instances where biological males are competing in female-only sports. And so this bill is about protecting the integrity of women's sports in our state, because we want every little girl to be able to be on the gold podium instead of a biological male who has different physiological kind of capabilities at the time of birth.
So you referenced Connecticut, and we know that Connecticut, this case out of Connecticut, involves two trans girl sprinters who allegedly had an unfair advantage in winning races, though we should note that they do not win every race. They do lose to cisgender girls. And you didn't cite specifically any cases out of Ohio, though. I'm wondering if you've seen any.
Yeah, so to actually just correct you a little bit more, actually, in the state of Connecticut, there was 9 different girls that used to hold the 15 women's state championship titles. Now, those titles are all held by 2 different biological males. So it's more than just one instance. It's many instances across the United States. You know, in the state of Ohio, we are seeing biological males competing in female-only sports. You know, thankfully, you know, it hasn't been, you know, something on a large scale where biological females are losing to biological males in female-only sports. But this is where we have to ensure that every little girl in the state of Ohio has the ability to compete on a level playing field. And if we don't pass this piece of legislation now, we will see, just like we're seeing in other states, biological males ending up on the gold podium over females. And as a legislator, I want to be able to tell every little girl in our state that if you work hard enough and to achieve the gold status podium, then you'll have the ability to win that, because that's why female-only sports were created.
We're talking with Ohio State Representative Jenna Powell, a Republican from Arcanum. She's the sponsor of what is called the Save Women's Sports Act. So again, this is more of a preventive piece of legislation, as you see it, than something that you hope prevents any type of widespread presence of trans girls and girls sports in Ohio.
You know, no, this is happening across the nation with the same guidelines that are in place under the OHSAA. So this is needed right now, not just to prevent, but to ensure that every little girl has the opportunity to compete on a level playing field. You know, and if this wasn't something that was needed, you know, this is a piece of legislation that is now being worked on across the nation, because we're seeing biological males ending up on a gold podium over females. And in the state of Ohio, we want to protect every little girl in our state and be able to tell them that if you want to end up on the gold podium with enough hard work, you can get there.
What are you hearing from little girls in Ohio. It seems that when it comes to acceptance and understanding trans people in our country, while there is growing support across all demographics, it seems the much younger generation, particularly those young kids, seem to be the most open and supportive. So what are you hearing from girl athletes as it relates to any perceived threat from trans girls competing or participating with them?
You know, athletes across our state understand that there's a biological and physiological difference between male and female athletes. So female athletes across our state are coming out and saying it is not fair for a biological male to compete in a female-only sport. You know, that goes against the very heart of Title IX and why it was created. You know, female athletes understand that they want to compete on a level playing field in the state of Ohio. And they support this bill. Families support this bill because they understand that there is a physiological difference between male and females at the time of birth. That's why Title IX was created. And that's why we have female only sports in our state.
As for girls who are competing, though, in sports in Ohio, are we hearing directly from the girls, not necessarily parents, not necessarily administrators, but are we hearing from the athletes themselves?
You know, I've talked to athletes, I've talked to parents, I've talked to grandparents, I've talked to people in my community, I've talked to people across our state and around the United States. You know, they support this piece of legislation. They understand that having a biological male competing against a female in female-only sports is unfair. And that's why this bill is just a fairness issue for women in the state of Ohio. And in today's age, when we want women to be able to achieve their American dream, and we always say that as a girl, you can do whatever you want to do. This bill is important in our state because, you know, female athletics will be crushed if the Save Women's Sports Bill does not pass.
Can I ask you your opinion on trans people's rights in this country in general? Would you consider yourself generally supportive of equal rights for trans people?
You know, that would be, I think, a conversation for another time, because this bill was specifically about, you know, saving women's sports in the state of Ohio. It's just a fairness issue for women. And so that's what this bill is about. If you want to have me on another time to have that whole conversation, that would be a different conversation. But the Save Women's Sports Act is just about fairness for women in female-only sports.
It also is about fairness for trans athletes, is it not? Those who want to compete in the sport assigned to the gender that they identify as. So, you know, you're going to hear this type of counter argument from people who oppose your legislation. And so can trans people trust that you will engage them in a good faith manner because you support equal rights for them in general?
You know, the beauty of the Save Women's Sports Bill is that it includes everyone in the state of Ohio. You know, in Ohio, we want everyone to be able to compete on the level playing field. But the Save Women's Sports Act upholds the integrity of women's sports in our state. And that's what this bill is about.
So we know that trans youth who start to receive hormone treatment at an early age, for example, a trans girl, if they start receiving treatment early enough, they won't experience male puberty. Would you have a problem with someone who has come of age after going through that, avoiding male puberty to compete in girls' sports?
So this bill specifically is about protecting the integrity of women's sports. What we see physiologically is at the time of birth, there's a physiological difference between male and females. Males have larger hearts, larger tendons and muscles, stronger bones, which allows them to compete on a different playing field over females, which is why we have female-only sports in the state of Ohio. And you continue asking these questions, but this is a common sense bill that most people in the state of Ohio understand and agree with. We just want little girls to be able to achieve their American dream in our state and to be able to compete on a level playing field. And the beauty of this bill is that it doesn't exclude anyone. Everyone in our state is able to compete. But when we have female-only athletics, we have to protect the integrity of female-only athletics. And that's what this bill does. And that's why I'm excited about moving it forward.
What is the status of the legislation currently, Representative Powell?
You know, this bill is waiting on first hearing in the Ohio House. And we're excited about having first hearing and moving it forward.
Have you had committee hearings? Or is that, would that be the first hearing?
That would be the first hearing. Yes, we did have it last General Assembly, but you know, due to a lot of different things and COVID, and there was a lot of things that popped up that we had to work on. And now this General Assembly, we did it reintroduce it, and we're waiting on first hearing in the House.
Who have you invited to testify in support of it?
Oh, you know, the beauty of the Ohio legislature is that anyone can come and testify on this bill, whether they're a proponent or an opponent of the bill. We want Ohio's voices to be heard in this conversation. And so anyone can come and testify. And there's many people that have emailed my office and will be testifying.
Anyone that you have specifically invited to show support for your legislation?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of people that have emailed our office already. I can't tell you an exact whole group because I don't have it in
front
of me. Right.
I mean, you put some legislation together, and we all know how legislation can be written by lawmakers, right? I mean, you have you consult with people from various sectors of society involved in organizations and that sort of thing. So you probably consulted with some people in crafting this legislation. So based on that process, is there anybody that you specifically want to have testifying in front of the committee in support of this legislation?
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. I want every female athlete in the state of Ohio to be able to come out and to be able to have their voice heard. That's the beauty of legislation, because it's the people's voice in our state. And so, yes, you know, I would like every female athlete that supports this piece of legislation to come into committee and explain their story and explain why they went into athletics, how they hope they can achieve their dream in our state, and how having a biological male compete against them really goes against Title IX and takes away the fairness of a female-only sport. So yes, I would like every female athlete in our state to come and testify on this bill. And we would like to hear both proponent and opponent, because that's the beauty of the legislature, that everyone's voice can be heard.
So then, to be clear, you have not specifically invited any religious organization, any athletics group, any individual. You have not on your own behalf suggested or encouraged a particular person, a specific person or entity to be present at the testimony.
You know, we would love anyone to speak as proponents of the bill that believes in the bill. And so, you know, we're always looking to work with organizations, people, community members, athletes across the state, across the nation, in our community, to come and have a voice in this conversation. And so that is what we're looking for. And if any viewers on your show would like to speak on behalf of this piece of legislation, they can email my office and we'd love to hear their testimony.
I just, before we let you run, Representative Powell, I know you're busy. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding clearly, because it seems like you don't want to say whether you've invited anybody specific or any particular organizations.
You know, the beauty of this bill is that so many people support it in our state. And so I think you're trying to back me into a corner in one way or another. And I have a lot different things going on today. So I don't have it all exactly in front of me, and I don't want to misspeak, but there are organizations across our state who want to speak on behalf of this and who I would love to give a voice. There's athletes who want to speak on behalf of this bill, and I want to give a voice. There's families who want to speak on behalf of this bill, and I want to give a voice. And so if you'd like to hear who's going to speak on behalf of it, the committees are aired live at the Ohio Channel. You can watch it live there. The beauty of the Ohio legislature is that you can also write in testimony. And so you can do that as well. And if you, as a host, would like to speak on behalf of this bill as well in our committee, you can also do that as well. And so I'm excited about whoever might want to speak on this bill to be able to come and speak and fight for women's sports in our state.
State Representative Jenna Powell is a Republican from Arcanum who represents the 80th District in the Ohio House of Representatives. Representative Powell, thank you so much for the time you gave us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on today.
Up next, we speak with a prominent medical doctor who's testified on behalf of the ACLU in support of allowing trans girls and women to compete in girls and women's sports. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Dr. Joshua Safer is an endocrinologist and executive director of the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery. He offers a counter perspective to lawmakers fighting to ban transgender girls and women from competing in girls and women's sports. Dr. Safer argues it's unclear whether trans females have an unfair athletic advantage. I spoke with him earlier. Here is our pre-recorded conversation. Joining us now is Dr. Joshua Safer. He's executive director of the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery at Mount Sinai Health System. Dr. Safer, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Michael. Happy to be here.
Ohio's among at least 30 states across the country in which lawmakers have introduced bills that aim to keep transgender girls and women from participating in girls and women's sports teams. I note that you were interviewed by The Washington Post, and one of the things you told that paper of record was, quote, "The important thing to consider here as it relates to high school sports and teenagers is, are we addressing a problem that actually exists, or are we simply addressing a fear?" I was hoping we could start by asking you to expand upon that.
The important thing when you're thinking about transgender athletes and the impact of biology on athleticism is to not get ahead of the data. If we're going to discriminate, we want to make that based on what is true and not just the things about which we worry.
Okay, and so to that end, what are you seeing as it relates to the science and transgender athletes and their abilities in these sports compared to other girls and women?
What we know right now with regard to sex and sport is the following. Prior to puberty, children are pretty much the same. That is to say that there is no significant difference between boys and girls across most sports. And so there's no real reason from an athleticism perspective to divide them. When we're looking at adults, then we see that depending upon the sport, there is a small but significant difference among men relative to women. And when we look for reasons why that might be so, we find that the difference relates heavily to the testosterone circulating in their system. The question and the tension comes at during intermediate stages where it becomes a question of how much of a difference things make as children are going through puberty.
When you say small but significant as it relates to testosterone, what does that mean for those of us who might not be intimately educated on the science?
Sure. The difference between men and women from a hormone perspective is the hormone that's typically associated with men, which is testosterone. And it's all sex hormones exist in all people, but the testosterone levels in men are typically about 10 times as high as they are in women, if you can believe the assays that we use anyway to test those things. So that testosterone has action at several times during life. One of them is in puberty, where it makes men on average bigger than women, and then later it continues to have impact on muscle size and oxygen carrying capacity in the blood and things like that.
So we're talking about some of the key areas of athletics when you reference that, are we not? When we start thinking about muscles and heart and size. So how do we square that with the argument that there would be fairness in allowing transgender girls who may have gone through puberty to compete in sports against girls?
So when we're thinking about the difference that testosterone plays in athleticism, what we really so far know is that the levels circulating that correlate with muscle size and that correlate with oxygenation play a role. And what that means is that for transgender women specifically, it looks to be the case that when those testosterone levels through their medical regimens are decreased to the typical female ranges than there is than there are the changes in oxygen carrying capacity, in muscle activity to make things equal or fair.
To revisit how we started our conversation, Dr. Safer, in which you explained or suggested that perhaps these types of pieces of legislation that we're discussing today are addressing a problem that doesn't exist necessarily, and that we may instead just be addressing a fear. You emphasized in that Washington Post article that despite the advantages, quote, conferred by testosterone, the list of known examples of transgender girls and women succeeding in sports at any level is vanishingly short. So while there may not be many examples of transgender girls competing against other girls, it seems that lawmakers in support of these pieces of legislation are arguing that you're opening the door to that. So if we do see an increase of transgender girls competing against other girls, what do you think we could expect based on the science that we know?
So the interesting thing to observe is that most of the transgender girls and women actually have their treatment after they've gone through puberty. And so they're already larger, and you hear people reference that. And so if that's true, then they are left with some changes that are permanent and some changes that are not. Specifically, they're left with bigger bones and bigger body size, but they have muscles that are smaller relative to those bodies and bones. And so it could be the case that they're actually at a disadvantage for most athletics, with that proportion now working against them. And that may be part of the reason that we're not seeing transgender women dominating sports like you might otherwise predict. I can't forecast the future, of course, and so I don't know what the data will show. When we're dealing with elite athletic organizations like the International Olympic Committee and World Athletics, there are testosterone cutoffs that have been proposed to be in place. And if it turns out that there are other differences that are relevant, we would have to adjust some of the rules to keep things fair when we learn them. But in the meantime, as I just stated, it's not clear that transgender women have an advantage, at least as adults, when their testosterone levels are in the appropriate ranges. In fact, they may be at a disadvantage.
We're talking with Dr. Joshua Safer. He is Executive Director of the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery in the Mount Sinai Health System. Dr. Safer, you've also served as an expert witness for the American Civil Liberties Union. This is an organization that has argued in support of transgender rights, certainly in a lot of areas, including this one. Can you talk a little bit about how you cooperate with the ACLU? They're already stating an argument. They're already stating a position. We do see members of the ACLU staff active on social media and engaging in these types of debates. What is that process like when you're brought in to talk to an organization like that and ultimately serve as an expert witness?
My role with the ACLU is really to be a scientist and a physician, and to focus on the facts and what it is that we know and what it is that we don't know. So they bring me in as an expert as opposed to as an advocate. So my politics are completely not material here, just simply my analysis of the data that we have.
So you've conducted research, obviously. You provide expert testimony on behalf of organizations as it relates to this topic. I want to note the research of another professor. This is Benjamin Levine, a professor of cardiology at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. And according to the Washington Post, he's also the founder and director of the Institute for Exercise and Environmental Medicine at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas. And he notes in the same article in which you were profiled in the Washington Post that people who go through puberty with male levels of testosterone on average will grow taller and stronger than cisgender girls and women with more muscle mass, larger hearts and advantages, and several other physiological factors that affect athleticism. And again, that is according to the New York Times reporting. So we've covered that in theme here in our conversation, Dr. Safer, but it seems like there are researchers out there who are saying that you know, putting transgender girls in competition with other girls is a disadvantage. You're all highly skilled, educated medical professionals. What is the conflict here?
There's no doubt that testosterone has the impact that you just described. So that's not in question. The questions are two, really. One is whether altering the testosterone among adults is sufficient to compensate for that. And then the second is whether there is residual benefit or residual disadvantage from historic testosterone. And those questions are the ones that are not answered. And so when we're thinking about what where the debate lies, it's the error of taking what we know and then using it to imagine that we know things we've not yet tested. And that's really where the problem lies.
At the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery, Dr. Safer, do you address any mental health concerns related to transgender people?
Oh, our program has a large mental health component. You can imagine that all of the debate, all of the negative conversations with regard to transgender people take their toll on our patients. And even in a perfect future world where were that not occurring, simply recognizing that your gender identity is different from the visible body parts that all can see is going to have some stress when you think about what it is that you want to do about that. And so it's a high priority to provide mental health support for people, of course.
That's certainly why I was asking. I'm wondering if you could share any, general stories about the experience that transgender people are dealing with when you have this type of debate so highly pronounced on the national stage right now.
Well, it's hard for me to get inside people's brains. People can sometimes be very resilient, even in the face of the adversity of these negative conversations. But there is no doubt that our patients are suffering from the intensity and the emotion and the politicization of their physical situation.
And we're talking about people's identity. We're talking about the core of who they are and who they strive to be. So what type of work do you do with these individuals when they do become overwhelmed by these negative conversations that not just discuss their situations, but often target them?
It's not just their identity. That's almost too soft a word. An identity can be something that you choose. It's actually the biological element in their brain, and the biological element in all of our brains, actually, which tell us what sex we are. And so there's nothing for them. They don't necessarily identify, even though we use that sort of language, as transgender. They are transgender. And the things that we can do to be helpful are really to be supportive, to recognize that biology is there, and then to think in a careful and scientific way about what the best approaches are in a way that's going to work best for those individuals. And it really is not just our program that needs to be supportive. It needs to be everybody who surrounds them. Recognizing their situation and being happy and supportive with them as people.
So when we think about pieces of legislation like the Save Women's Sports Act, what is the impact of that on your work, not just with the individuals directly, but perhaps with what should be their support system, their family, their social networks?
Hostile legislation or using our patients as targets, because maybe that will be advantageous in an election, or maybe somebody thinks it might be so, is certainly very, very difficult for our patients who are that targets of that negativity. And so it does distract from our work, where our work should be focused on thinking about what are the safest and best approaches for people to have healthy lives. That's what we do as medical people. We're unfortunately forced to commit resources just to support people who are suffering from how society is treating them, not just what their own biology requires us to do.
Dr. Joshua Safer is the executive director of the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery at Mount Sinai Health System. Dr. Safer, thank you so much for the conversation and spending this time with us today. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.